Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart and Soul, the radio show dedicated to all things BDSM. My name is Mistress Alisa. I'm a dominatrix, BDSM counselor, and life coach. Listen, you've got questions, and I've got answers, and I'll be talking to you from my heart and welcome to another episode of Heart and Soul. My name is Mistress Alisa. Today's episode, how not to ask for help with a sexual addiction. What I'm going to do today is walk you through an email exchange that I've had with an individual who reached out to me and who seemed to be making a desperate case for, you know, himself and saying that he was looking for help and he really needed help and he was struggling. But I'm going to show you guys right away how I knew that he was active in his addiction while he was asking for help. So what I did was, I'll walk you through it and I'll let you know what I did. So here's what I did. This is what this individual responded to. I put out a flyer. I posted it online. And it's not sexual at all. It's a flyer with two men in like two different phases of life. And the headline says, there is a time to heal. Then there's a question. Do you struggle with a pornography addiction? A little bit of text. There will come a point in your life when you get sick and tired of being a slave to your own sexual desires. When that time comes, know that there is hope. Contact me when you feel ready to talk. 15 years of experience. Note, I am not a licensed professional. Mistress Alisa, sex, porn, and masturbation addiction specialist. My little logo. And then there's a little note that says, in pretty large letters, note, this is not an erotic service. Okay? So it couldn't get any more clear than that. I absolutely am here to help. This is where you are, and if this is your story, this is where you are, then when you're ready to talk, I'm here to help you. I'm here to support you. There's hope. You can change this. Okay? Message is really simple. There are no titties, no lips, no body shots or anything like that. Nothing to trigger the individual. Because of the platform that I was on, I was not allowed to list my website. So the individuals who were interested had to use that website and send me a message of, like an introductory message, okay? Now here's the very first message that I got from this person. The header says, submissive exhibitionist. I have sexual problems that I need help with. I am a sex addict. I am a submissive exhibitionist. I like being partially nude or completely naked in front of a woman. It gives me a boner. I like it if the woman is okay with seeing me naked. I look for opportunities to be naked in front of a woman. This is an anonymous thrill. I like the attention and acceptance. I am submissive, and I like women to tell me what to do and dominate me. It feels good, but it leaves me empty. Can you help me? Thanks. Let's call him John Doe. He sends me his email address, and guess what else? A fucking picture. Now, I don't know if this is him or not. Totally don't know. This could be someone who's just fucking around, playing a game. I don't know. But let's peel back the layers and let's look at what's happening here. So first of all, a submissive exhibitionist. There's no such thing. That doesn't exist. It's incredible to me the number of times that men will create labels that fit their sexual addictions, and these labels don't even exist. What the fuck is a submissive exhibitionist? An exhibitionist is someone who gets out there and, you know, he's showing his stuff. He's doing this and that. He's opening his coat. He's driving around naked. Where did submission come into that? That's some bullshit to dress up the fact that he's out here doing things that are problematic. So the first thing that I see is that he has created this label that allows him to feel like he can excuse his behavior. The other thing, you guys cannot see this, but he wrote his message in really large pink letters. Really large pink letters, okay? I'm going back through the message, and I'm going to just talk through it. I will give commentary as I talk through the different points that come up for me. He says, I have sexual problems that I need help with. So he sounds sincere, right? He's admitting that he has sexual problems. And then he also admits, I am a sex addict. Okay, all right. But the fact that he led with submissive exhibitionist, I'm already feeling like this guy is triggered when he wrote me. So I don't feel like, right away, I don't feel like he's looking for help. And then he goes on to restate, I am a submissive exhibitionist. Whatever. I like being partially nude or completely naked in front of a woman. This has nothing to do with submission. Nothing. It gives me a boner. That has nothing to do with submission. So what I see is a person who is giving me all kinds of, he has dressed up this narrative to make things seem a certain way for himself. It's all about what turns him on. It's all about what makes him feel like he's less problematic than he actually is. And it's also about him getting his fix. He goes on to explain, I like it if the woman is okay with seeing me naked. When he wrote this, what he was doing was topping from the bottom. He calls himself a submissive, but what he's doing is feeding me the information that I would need to know if I were not really there to help. If I were there to be a dom who would fuck with him, you know, someone who's going to pretend to be dominant, he's feeding me the information that I need to know so that I can fall in line and do what pleases him. So I like it if the woman is okay with seeing me naked. I look for opportunities to be naked in front of a woman. What does that have to do with submission? Nothing. He says, this is an anonymous sexual thrill. How is it anonymous when you have sent me an email with a picture, with your name, and with an email address that has your name? If this is you, it has your name in it. And if this is not the person, then why would he say he's being anonymous and then go out of his way to tell me his first name, even if that's not his real name? Why give me a name? Why send me a picture? And whose email address is this? You know, either way, his actions are problematic and iffy and manipulative. He says, I like the attention and acceptance. I am submissive, and I like for women to tell me what to do and to dominate me. this whole thing is just bullshit. There's nothing about submission here. This person would not be a good candidate, at least not at this time, to actually work through his issues, because he's so caught up in his labels and his narrative of what he is and who he is and what his labels are, that you've got to get rid of the labels for him to get the help that he needs. And he's married to these labels, this submissive exhibitionist. That's bullshit. It doesn't exist. And this person is not submissive in the least. He is nothing more than a fetishist. So he's got to strip away this whole, you know, I'm submissive thing, because you're not. You're not. Not even close to it. And I'll tell you something else. This is the kind of person who would go to someone for help, but because they're not playing his game, he wouldn't last longer than 5 or 10 minutes. You know, he would suddenly turn on, you know, the intellectual side of himself, and that person is, you know, not being inclusive, or they are closed-minded, or they are not honoring his labels and, you know, who he is, and how dare you tell me I'm not submissive. He is married to his narrative, and his narrative makes no sense. And so in order for him to get the help that he really needs, he's got to stop trying to get off while he is pretending to get help. You can't do the types of things that, like, you can't engage in behavior that turns you on and get help at the same time. It does not work that way. Okay? Let's move on. So I wrote him a message and basically said, this is how you move forward with me. This is what my normal rate is, but you can talk to me. You can do like a meet and greet for $25. I sent him the link. If it's your first time, and I think it is for you, then this is what you need. Here's a link to my Heart and Soul podcast. Listen to the podcast. Listen to me talk and get a feel for me. Then come to me with your questions and your thoughts. So what did I do? What did I do in that situation? I gave him an assignment that had nothing to do with his dick. Yeah, this is important. Because if I were to give him an assignment that had to do with his dick, and even if I, you know, played a game with him and, you know, I'm like, oh, send me money and, you know, cash at me, this and that, I could have gotten money from him. I could have played that game with him. I could have lured him in. But look at what's happening. I'm being a person of integrity, and I'm saying to him, you need to do some homework. You need to look at what you're doing, look at your behavior, listen to some of my content. Get a feel for me. Get your questions together. And then, if you're interested in contacting me, I've got a special that you can take advantage of. Yeah? It couldn't have been, if he really wanted help, it couldn't have gone any better. Because I didn't play games with him, you know, I didn't try to get money from him, I didn't, like, you know what I mean? I didn't start doing the FinDom thing, I didn't do any of that. I sincerely told him who I was, what I was about, here's some free content for you, and all you have to do is get your ideas and your thoughts together. $25, your first hour, could not have gone any better for him. So what did he do? Well, let's look at it. Okay? He writes me back. Oh, Dios mío. He writes me back. And he says, again, with the big pink letters, yeah? Are you okay with my situation and my problems? what he's doing right here is he is fishing. He's trying to see if I'm going to flirt with him or be accommodating. He's trying to see whether or not I'm going to bite, because he has given me different clues as to what turns him on, and he's trying to see whether or not his attempts to top from the bottom have worked. Is she going to jump on board? Is she going to try to get to see me nude? Right? He says, do you think I am too weird? I am a submissive exhibitionist. Again, with that stupid-ass title. I look for opportunities to expose myself to women. Again, he's telling me, I am fighting for my addiction. This is what I want. This is what I need. This is what I'm fighting for. This is where my focus is. He says, I have exposed myself to women doctors. Oh, okay. Now you're problematic out in the world around you. Now you're creepy. Now you're letting me know that you're probably dangerous. Because the thing that I've learned about men and their sexual secrets is they only tell you a fraction of what's really going on with them. So a man who confesses to me within the second email that he exposes himself to women doctors, yeah? My question is, what are you not telling me? Because he's only, in these two messages, he's only giving me about 5% of what's really going on inside of him. And notice how everything that he's doing has to do with him being in control and him fighting for his addiction. He goes on to say, they have given me exams where I have to pull my pants down. These exams include prostate exams, STD exams, and genital exams. Sometimes my penis becomes erect during the exam. The women doctors that I have do not seem to mind if I have a boner in front of them. I have stood in front of my doctor with my pants down to the floor and my shirt pulled up and my boner, blah, 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 blah. I'm bored already. Like, this is all about... And there's more. I'm not going to read this shit. What he is doing is giving me the material that he uses to jerk off to. He's telling me what he does that's inappropriate. He's telling me about things that he does that are just a part of his normal health care, and he is turning it into something sexual. There is nothing about this message that says, I want help. Why am I bringing this message to your attention? I'll tell you why. It's because men are so controlled by their sexual addictions that I see it all the time, where the guy reads my content and he's excited and happy that there is someone who wants to help and someone who seems like they can help. Someone who has the confidence and the knowledge to help you work through your addiction. But they come to me and they start to ask questions about me being a dom, about my favorite kinks, about how big my tits are. They get distracted very easily. And then also is this feeling, this belief that because I'm a dom, you don't have to be respectful, but I'm nothing more than, quote-unquote, a sex worker, and you can treat me like trash. You can talk to me and do whatever you want, and it's cute because I'm just a sex worker. That kind of attitude, it's problematic. And it's not like it offends me or hurts my feelings. It can't be a dom and be thin-skinned, okay? But it's problematic because you guys don't understand that there are very few people out here who can help you. And so you're burning bridges. You are cutting off connections. There are so few of us who can help you, who know how to help you, who are skilled. So few of us. Who better to help you than, you know, the Dom who knows why you're addicted in the first place? The Dom who understands you better than you understand yourself. And so what he does is he comes to me with this bullshit. Oh, gosh. Oh, my God. Holy shit. You know what? This guy is dangerous. I never saw this. Like, his message is pretty lengthy. Oh, this guy is dangerous. Let me just give you this little clip. He says, and as you can tell, I like to seduce the woman into feeling comfortable with me. Yeah, this sounds like some Harvey Weinstein bullshit. Is this okay with you or is this too weird? I want a girlfriend so I can expose myself to her and have sex with her. Everything about this guy says I'm selfish, I'm creepy. He absolutely does not want help. And then on top of that, I get more pictures. Ass, dick, and chest. Yeah. Here's my response to him. Let me see how I'm doing with time. Okay, here's my response to him. Sweetheart, you obviously don't want help, at least not right now. You are a fetishist who is looking to act out. I would recommend that you contact someone who is willing to play games with you. I am in the business of helping men to change their lives. When you get tired of being a slave to your dick, look me up. However, you will need to make sure to follow the directions that I listed in my initial message to you. In the meanwhile, if you try to fuck around with me and waste my time, I will block you. That's just Elisa. Now, here's the thing. I will never hear from this guy again. From what I've seen in his message, he's too far gone. I believe that what I've seen with this guy, and especially if this is him in these pictures and the confessions that he made, he's too far gone. I mean, it would take an act of God to reach this guy because it sounds like he has the time. He definitely has, some resources, and he has been feeding himself these fantasies probably for decades. He looks like he's in his mid-60s. He's been feeding himself this for a long time. Listen, if you want to get help with your sexual addiction and you're listening to this message, you need to understand, one, there are not too many people who know how to help you. And it's sad to me that even, keep in mind, I'm not licensed, okay? Keep that in mind. I'm very open about that. But it's sad to me that so many of my clients go to Sex Addicts Anonymous. They have a psychiatrist and a psychologist. They have accounts on nofap.com. They're doing all of the stuff. They're doing the most. Why isn't it coming together? The reason is because a lot of the help that people try to give is performative. If we can get you to stop behavior, then your addiction is under control. No, the fuck it's not. Most of what is out there is about white-knuckling it. It's about, you know, stopping the behavior and don't think about it and, you know, go for a run or go work out. Meanwhile, that sexual energy is building up inside of you, and it's a mixture of shame and guilt and embarrassment and anger and frustration and humiliation and, you know, feeling powerless and guilt and all of this stuff. What do you do with that? You can't ignore that. And so the other problem is that men who are looking for help with their sexual addictions are not honest. So because the person that you're talking to is afraid to lose their license, they're not going to say that's bullshit. You're triggered and you're acting out right now. They're not going to call you out like that. They are more concerned about being politically correct than they are about getting in the face of your addiction and calling you out for being a mouthpiece for your addiction. So the first part of the work that I do in the beginning with a client, the first few sessions is like, you're being a mouthpiece for your addiction right now. You know, let's reword that. I need to hear your story and I need to hear your truth. But you are being a mouthpiece for your addiction right now. The average person doesn't understand the difference between you telling your story and you giving helpful details versus you talking and acting in such a way that you trigger yourself. And it's a beautiful dance, if you will. It's a dance that has to be done with the person who's listening going, okay, I understand what you're saying. I understand your story. I get your feelings and your emotions. I'm hearing things that you're not telling me, but I am also understanding that you're digging a hole right now. And so let me help you sort through this. Listen, how not to ask for help with your addiction? Go in there when you're triggered and act out like this so that the person that you're talking to, you know, is freaked out by you. I'm not freaked out because I see this stuff all the time. But you go in there, you know, acting in such an off-the-wall kind of manner, and that person who is trying to help you is concerned about their safety, their license, whether or not you're going to report them. So they're trying to play ball and be politically correct, and they're doing everything that they can to keep their space safe, and they're not after that addiction. They're not in there trying to get in the face of that addiction and shut that shit down. Because one of the main problems that people who struggle with sexual addictions have is that they don't even know when the addiction is in control. They think that they are fighting for what is their right, for their rights, for something that's important to them. But a lot of times they are nothing more than a mouthpiece for their addiction. So I need to start wrapping up now. For those of you who would like to know more about me and what it is that I do, you can visit my website at alisacoaches.com. That's A-L-I-S-A coaches, C-O-A-C-H-E-S. Is my music on? C-H-E-S .com. I do have a special for those of you who are interested. Your first hour is $25, and you can contact me through my website if that's something that you're interested in. But listen, this is not about me. My way doesn't work for everyone. It's not about whether or not you are a good candidate for me. It's about the information that I'm providing to you. If you already have a counselor, stay with them. If you already have a coach, stay with them, but do better. How about be honest with them? Stop with the secrets and the half-truths and the, you know, the smoke and mirrors. Stop with the bullshit. One of the best things that you can do for yourself if you are trying to get help is tell the truth. And especially for those of you who are religious leaders, you guys are the kings of lying and smoke and mirrors, because you're trying to protect, you know, your name and your legacy, and find somebody who knows what the fuck they are doing and go to that person and be honest with them. Stop with the half-truths, the lies, the lying through omission, the smoke in the mirrors. Stop it. It's not helping you. It's only making things worse. All right, guys, take care, and I will see you again next time.